I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
your
is going to
your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks
what
ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left. Checks
2 weeks
left.
Ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit, get out of debt, and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Oh, I want to be rich.
Greetings.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I am so excited about today's broadcast. Thank you for stopping by. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and we are broadcasting live from the UnlockYourWealth.com studios. And on today's show, we have such a winning lineup. You will be so excited. I hope you're just as excited as I am. I don't want to make any assumptions about what you are thinking or feeling, but if you're here, you're probably looking for some excitement, and we have a great plan for you today. We have some amazing Minutes on Your Money articles, and it is our last key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series, and I'm so thrilled because we also have Dr. John DeMartini stopping by. If you want to listen to the master of human behavior and personal development, you want to hang on because this guy is going to blow your socks off. I'm telling you. I hate to set the expectation too high, but I don't think that that's very high. He's going to be an amazing guest. I have followed this man's work on the brain and human potential, and I am awed by him, and I am so grateful that he has chosen to become a part of our show today. I think that you'll be really excited. He is an internationally acclaimed guy. So we'll be really thrilled to have him on. We've got some great Minutes on Your Money articles. We're going to talk about you, the American public, not buying into the tax scare from our crazy politicians on both sides. It's just ridiculous. You know, I look at this, and when we get into this article, it amazes me that these politicians that we elected to represent our beliefs, points of view, and interests are trying to use tactics to scare us about our future. It just blows me away. So when we get into that article, I'm going to also talk about how important this next election cycle is. I'm going to kind of digress from the article because I'm going to share some things with you that are so important. And it's along the lines of what we do when we talk about all of our money management stuff. So you're going to like it. And then we're also going to talk about banking. There are a lot of options now. A lot of things have changed since this whole mortgage crisis happened. And how do we know if we're at the right bank, if the bank is serving us, and what the right bank is? So we're going to talk about how to choose the right bank for you as an individual. What are my needs in banking? How do I go about picking the right one? And then if you'd like to join the ranks of the millionaires, you'll want to stay tuned because not only do we have our Millionaire Minute today, but we also have a really great article about being part of the club. I'm so excited. We also have this week's key, which is become a voracious reader. And I'm totally stoked because I'm a reader. I love to read. And thank God for writers because I wouldn't know or be able to function and do half of the things that I do if it wasn't for reading. And, you know, just because you weren't a good reader in school doesn't mean you can't be a good reader here in the future, because you can. And we're going to talk about some specific reading techniques that will help you read better. And we're also going to talk about the value of why reading is so important. And I'm going to do this key a little bit differently because as we were driving up yesterday to my little getaway, my foxhole in a third world country, because it's so great to be away from civilization, even if it's only for a day or two. So, but as we were driving up, I started thinking about doing this key differently. I came up with some really great ideas as I was listening to this book on memory, because when I can't obviously read for an hour and a half and navigate a vehicle, so I love audiobooks. So if you're not a look-at-it reader, I'm telling you, audiobooks are the thing, especially if you're an auditory learner. So we're going to talk about this key from a little bit different perspective than we typically do. So I'm going to add some extra value, total bonus, not included in the price of today's show, which is free anyway. Isn't that funny? Just thought of that. But, yes, so some of you used to always say in my seminars, it's total bonus, not included in the price of today's show. So you'll want to stick around for that because that'll be in the second hour. We'll also do our nuts and bolts and all kind of good things. So I want you to stay tuned for that and be ready for all of that. Now, we also have some really neat things coming up because this is the last show for this season. And in addition to it just being the last show, next Saturday's show is going to be new and improved for our 10th season on Blog Talk Radio. I can't even believe how the time has flown. And so as a result of that, we've got some neat things planned. We've listened to you, and we are responding with a completely revised format. You are on the go. So we are moving our show format to a condensed version. We're packing it in, so you're going to have to listen fast. You have to pay attention and take copious notes or make sure that you're downloading the broadcast or podcasting it from iTunes so you can go back and review, because we are going to really jam all of what we do into a more condensed time period. We're still going to have interviews. We're going to have minutes on your money. It's going to be great. You're going to love the new format. And when you want in-depth stuff, all you have to do is surf over to our new and improved website that we'll be launching. We're going to be relaunching. It's still in its current format, but on July 1, we are rolling out a whole new format, and we're lowering the price for those that want to be Insiders Club members. We are going to be changing all of that stuff up, so you'll be liking that. So for a mere 20 cents a day, you can be on the inside. But we still have a VIP listener membership available for those of you that want to get your feet wet before making that decision to jump to make an investment. That's okay, because we can help you too. We're so excited about that. We've got new ways to stream the show, new ways to listen, and new information on the website to help you and your family manage your money better, saving time and building wealth, doing the things that you want to do, all while reducing stress and creating freedom and happiness all at the same time. So I'm so excited about that what we're going to be doing with the new stuff. Now, our trivia question we have for this week, so get ready to either dial in, chat in, or email in to win. We do a trivia question each and every week for newcomers, and what we do is we usually base it on a previous show. Now, we had some pretty kick-butt shows this week. We had a Eliminating Worry show on our Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go, our 15-minute program. And on our midweek update, we talked about ways to de-stress without spending money. It's so amazing. You can actually do that. It doesn't cost you anything to unwind. And we talked about that. So our trivia question, always based on a previous show, is on the midweek update, we talked about many different ways to de-stress without spending money. All you have to do is name one of the suggestions that we gave, and you will be the proud owner of a personal development book, either from me, my Bushido Business Book, where I can personalize it to you or someone you care about, or you can get one from our library of books from previous show guests that we have available. So you pick the prize. All you got to do is answer correctly. Now, if you think you know the answer, you can win one of three ways. You can call in to win at 1-718-508-9002, 1-718-508-9002, or to be a part of the show and ask a question, give us a jingle. If you are listening from our Blog Talk Radio show page, just go ahead and chat your answer in. And if you are listening live from unlockyourwealth.com, well, all you need to do is send us an email to trivia@uywradio.com, trivia at uywradio.com. Now, there's two other ways that you can make winning easy. One is getting the question before everybody else. And to do that, all you have to do is subscribe to our electronic magazine. Our weekly magazine goes out to thousands of listeners before the show is broadcast. It gives you weekly tips on managing your money. It has links to our blog. It talks about what guests are coming up and what topics are being covered, especially what key it is, and how you can incorporate that into your life right now so you can start every day with the right mindset and have your money financial goals right at the forefront. And all you need to do to subscribe is visit our website and drop your email in the subscription box, or all you have to do is simply send us an email saying, hey, I want to be a part of the deal. And if you just send us an email, all you got to do is write ezine, E-Z-I-N-E, at uywradio.com, ezine at uywradio.com, and ask to be signed up, and then we will send you your ezine, and then you'll get the question before everyone else. So if you're not sure of the answer, you have time to research it. It goes out every Friday morning. Alenna D. Fiore publishes this fabulous, concise newsletter, and it goes to your inbox the day before the show. So it'll give you a chance to get caught up and win. Now, there's another way to win without doing a single thing. For the Insiders Club member, we now have a weekly giveaway. And so all you have to do is sign up and be a part of UnlockYourWealth.com's Heather's Insiders Club. And being a part of the Insiders Club, you will be automatically entered to win each week one of our personal development books or other tools. Maybe it's audio downloads. We have so many things that we're going to be giving away in our revamp. You're going to be so excited. You will want to join and find out what everybody else has learned about how to manage their money easier in less time and reducing stress. You'll be so happy because the key, wouldn't you agree, in life is to have freedom of choice and happiness and to be able to create that by simply doing something like organizing your finances. And it's not something that we do naturally. So it's something that we have to understand and work at and apply. It's like a skill. Money management is a skill. And unfortunately, we don't teach this in our schools, and more than likely our parents haven't taught us. And what we did learn from them about money management probably isn't working so good. So we're going to learn how to identify our limiting behaviors so we can overcome those to create that wealth and happiness that we truly deserve in our everyday life. Well, I am done with our introduction. So what you need to do is sit tight because we have some minutes on your money, and then Dr. DeMartini is coming up next. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and we will be right back with so much more coming up after this.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhall's on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Wonder why money comes so easily to everyone but you? Tired of getting what you've always got? Need a new way of thinking to get ahead in life but don't have time to read a book on it? Now you can learn what the millionaires do that the masses don't with Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go. Your 15-minute cup of millionaire motivation to get the specific strategies to ditch what doesn't work and have more of what you deserve in your everyday life. Join Heather Wagenhals to start your day the millionaire way. Listen to Heather Tuesdays at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your hostess with the Financial Mostess, and we have some minutes on your money for you. Now, wouldn't it be great if I didn't set them somewhere else? Grab the wrong pile of papers. Now, Bloomberg writes about Americans are seeing the debt threat and they are rejecting the tax scare. This is an interesting headline by Julie Hirschfeld Davis. And she writes, Americans say that $14.3 trillion, that's trillion and with a T as in too much money, it's threatening the economy, and the entitlement programs may go broke even as they are dismissed as scare tactics. And the arguments that are being offered by both Republicans and Democrats who are debating a solution. Their sentiments in a Bloomberg national poll suggest that the public is open to the recommendations of the majority of President Barack Obama's debt commission. Members of the group, which included current and former members of Congress and White House officials, called for revenue increases and spending cuts that would shave deficits by almost $4 trillion over the next decade. More than 60% of those surveyed say that the interest on the debt may lead to a recession and the rising costs of Medicare and Social Security represent real dangers, according to the poll that was conducted just last week.
At the same time, the poll found that most Americans aren't swayed by the arguments Republicans and Democrats make to advance their competing remedies for debt reduction and strengthening financial stability of entitlement programs. And most of the pollsters are saying it's empty rhetoric. And, you know, rhetoric, hyperbole, all that is a bunch of talk or fluff, for those of you who aren't into all the highfalutin words. Among the rejected assertions are that either spending cuts or tax increases are going to cause a double-dip recession or would lead to continued joblessness. Now, according to Richard Klimczyk, he's a 58-year-old independent voter from Cleveland, says they always spin things one way or another, and you can't really trust it. And it's happening on both sides. We have real problems in this country, he says, but they just say things to get people worried so things turn out the way they want them. And I think that that's unfortunate because these are the people that we're electing to represent our views. Yet, for some reason, they're either not listening or they want to just sit there and posture. You know, when I say posture, think of a peacock preening for a lady. You know, the boys whip out those fancy feathers with all the pretty blue and green colors, and they strut around. That's what I feel our politicians are doing. But taken together, the results show that while Americans, you, are concerned about the country's fiscal condition and that of cherished social programs, that they don't trust either party's assessment of what is needed to address those issues. So I think to myself, as I interject, if we don't trust the people that we elected, how are we going to fix this? Well, the level of trust of politicians is at an all-time low, and it's because both sides have recognized how to scare the living hell out of each other, according to Frank Luntz, a Republican polling expert in the message strategist. Either that or I'm sore and I need a massage, one of the two. The strategy of it is that people know that they're in the middle of a crisis, but politics has positioned themselves so well that the voters don't want to think, and they are afraid to sip on the Kool-Aid, so to speak. Public skepticism extends to the negotiations in Washington between the White House and congressional Republicans to reach a deal on reducing spending and raising the nation's debt limit. In the past, Congress has lifted the debt ceiling to allow the government to borrow more money without debate. This year, Republicans are using the once pro forma vote as an opportunity to press for spending reductions, an issue that is normally negotiated separately. For those that are concerned about the deficit, bond market yields in the U.S. are lower now than when the government was running a budget surplus a decade ago, and I use that term loosely because the type of accounting methods that they have, you'll need to go back and download that episode where we talked about the nation's accountability and how they require taxpayers to use certain accounting methods, but they don't use those same accounting methods. But anyhow, back to the story. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury, this is what everybody watches. These are what mortgage rates are typically based off of for 30-year fixed rates. They use this as a guide, and then they add their margins and stuff like that onto them. But that the float of the price of the Treasury that goes up and down every day is what they base the mortgage rates on. Now, it was less than 3%, 2.91 specifically. That's below the average of 7% since 1980. That's less than half. It gives you a heart attack. Okay, the 10-year Treasury is at half of what it was in 1980. And the average of 5.5% through the 98 through 2001 period, according to the Bloomberg Bond Trader. Now, poll respondents say they aren't convinced that the U.S. could default on its obligations unless Congress raises the debt ceiling. They say it's a scare tactic compared with 43% who say default is a real danger. So I'm not going to bore you with the article anymore because it's kind of boring. But I want to engage you for a moment in thinking about this. Now, it is great that we can look to a government to help those who cannot help themselves. Okay, keyword can, because that deals with ability. We're not talking about willingness to help themselves, but we're talking ability to help themselves. So those are people that are mentally or physically incapacitated, or, you know, for small people, you know, like, what do I mean, small people, for children, you know, or infants or minors that are unable to take care of themselves because they've lost their parents or something, or for those elderly who don't have any family and are unable to take care of themselves. You know, government is supposed to respond to that. Government is supposed to care for us in that sense, that to make sure that we're safe. They use laws and enforce them to create order. But what's happened in this country is we've gotten away from that. Now, for some reason, we've gotten away from the vision the forefathers had for our country. Because if you look at all the other countries around the world that have socialist economies and governments, they are collapsing. Now, what we need to determine is, while it's nice to look out for others, we must take care of ourselves first. And as we pursue our own selfish interests, which that word selfish is not a negative word. It is a positive word that means looking out for oneself. We've applied a negative connotation in this country on that word, unfortunately, but it's a positive word. Being self-centered, where the world revolves around you, now that has a negative connotation, but people aren't using their words properly. But our government needs to straighten up, and our government needs to be a little bit more selfish. And it needs to look at what's going on in our country and take care of ourselves first before we reach to the aid of others. And the reason why I say that is we are repeating history. Those that don't take the time to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I don't remember who said that quote, but if you ever took a class in history and know what happened to Rome, we are in the midst of it. Rome spread themselves too thin, started taking care of too many other people, drugs were rampant, morals were gone, and corruption was everywhere. And that's what's happening to us. And so if you want control of your government, because when you get your government under control, guess what that means for you? More money in your pocket because you're paying less taxes for a more efficient government. The government needs to streamline itself and take care of itself first before reaching to the aid of the others. Like I always say about the flight attendant, as you're preparing for takeoff, tells you when there's a loss in cabin pressure, you must put your own oxygen mask on first before going to the aid of others. So we must focus on putting our oxygen mask on first. And I'm going to give you some tips. This, again, not included in the price of today's class, is about how do we fix this. Well, first we need to look internally and figure out what role we want government in our lives. And what we need to do is figure out what's important to us with regard to how we view the role of government, and then we need to take that bulleted list and compare it with the candidates and elect a person that will meet that criteria. And if there's no one out there, you need to step up and run for office, because this is not going to get fixed. And remember, all politics ends up being local, and you have to live by the rules of your homeowners association and the individual city that you live in. Granted, the federal government is pretty powerful, but ideally, what goes on in your life day to day is governed by your locality, and you can make a difference. And the reason why I tell you to write down what's important to you first and create this list is because you can get hung up real easy in comparing what the candidates have to offer and what they're saying And it's not about who's saying what is better. If you don't know what's important to you, you can't make a comparison about which person that you need to vote to. And forget about party lines, because they're so blurred, I don't even know if there really is a party anymore. I think it's one big, great party, and it's a big conspiracy against us Americans, where they're just going to have a good time, eat in a fancy congressional hall, lunchroom, and have perks and do things on our taxpayers' money. So what we need to do is identify what's important to us first and vote that way. Because people are like, well, I don't know how to pick a candidate. Well, that's how you do. Find out what's important to you and then move forward. And, oh, guess what? Elena DeFior, our illustrious program director, says George Santayana gave us that fabulous quote about history and being doomed to repeat it. Isn't she so savvy, folks? Yes, she is. So if you're in the chat room, give her a little pat on the back, a little smiley, a little big ups for that, because that was good. She is so slick. Way to go. Be on top of things. So anyway, I'm going to get off that, but if you want to make a difference in your life and you feel compelled, that's how you do it. You do it by voting or getting involved. If you can't find the right person, then go do it yourself. Now, how about banking? It's changed quite a bit, wouldn't you say? And you might have been with the same bank throughout this whole financial crisis. Or perhaps your bank went away because of this financial crisis. Banks consolidate, they move. And you might not even picked your bank for specific banking reasons. It might have been right there on the corner because it was a local bank. It was easy to get to, lots of ATMs. But you never really thought about that. But picking a bank is like selecting a new paint color for your kitchen, according to Lauren Berlin. And she says that you're going to see a lot of it. And while you can always change your mind if you don't like the one you've chosen, it's kind of a hassle. So selecting the best one suited to you depends on what you need from your financial institution. And it might be a little complicated because there are so many options. So just like when it comes to our dreams with deadlines, what we want out of life, our goals, or just like what we just discussed, our priorities when it comes to electing politicians to represent us, identify your banking needs has to happen, number one. So what you need to do is write out a list of things that are important to you. Now, Jesse Ryan, managing director at Accounting Principles, says, is a checking account important? Is a savings account important? Are you looking for investment opportunities? And what risk tolerance do you have? Do you want to do all of your banking together with mortgages, loan consolidations, direct deposit, and insurance? These are questions that you need to ask yourself. What do I need when it comes to banking? Now, David Barr, a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation spokesman, that's the FDIC, says if you're a small business owner and you're going to be taking a lot of loans out, you might be more interested in what a bank has to offer on its lending side versus just its deposit services. Now, another consideration you need to make is convenience. Like we just discussed a bit ago, some financial institutions have physical branches, while others exist only online. Some have ATMs everywhere, and others might only have a few, and you might have to go to relationship bank ATMs. So what you need to do is not just think about what's important to you, but specifically, how do you bank? What do you like? Do you enjoy going down to the bank on Friday and personally depositing your check? Do you like interfacing with a human being, a teller, that you can cash checks with, make your deposits, and see face-to-face? Or are you a more streamlined, techno-savvy kind of person, and would you prefer to be online for your banking? Would you rather go click, 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 set up direct deposit, and not have to interface with anybody? Are ATMs even important to you? You know, I'm the queen of swipe. I call myself the queen of swipe. So all I do is, you know, I would never make an extra effort to go to an ATM. If I needed cash, I would do it as a part of a banking or like a grocery store transaction or some place where I'm already buying stuff where I can get cash back. That's what I would do. So a physical bank isn't necessary to what I need. Maybe a grocery store branch would even be better because I'm already at the grocery store, so then I can go to that. So you got to determine how you bank, like identify what you like to do, how you like to do it. Because some people like going every week, seeing that same face, and that's great if that makes you feel comfortable about your money. But if you're more time conscientious or techno savvy and you just want to go click, click and have it done, those things affect your fees, how much you pay a month for your accounts. Online banking is a lot cheaper because they're not supporting a big bricks and mortar institution. They've got a big warehouse full of people on the phones answering your calls and on computer terminals processing your transactions. And it doesn't have to be pretty because you ain't walking in there. So that's another consideration. Now, after you whittle down what it is that you need and what you like to do, and I've identified banks that meet that criteria, then we want to look at the fees. Fees can be evil if you're not careful. And I had no idea how chewed up I was getting on this one, on one of my business bank accounts until I got an email notification saying that I was overdrawn. And I'm like, how could that be? And I moved a decimal point, evidently. I really need new glasses because I'm looking and I thought it was $2.95 a month. And it was $29.95 a month for me to have this merchant account. And I was like, holy smokes, $30 a month? Do you know how many transactions I have to do just to cover that cost before I even get any profit? That's a lot of customers. I got to have 5 customers just to support my banking transaction fee. It was nuts. I couldn't believe it. So you need to compare those prices and eliminate the banks that are whacking you for everything. And if you go to our new money center next Friday, in our banking center, you are going to find all these cool tools and a neat spreadsheet on the criteria that you need to be comparing. So you can take each bank and you can make a apples-to-apples comparison. You don't have to take their brochure that's all fancy and salesy. You can go to their website and look at the specifics, and just all you got to do is drop them into this spreadsheet-type grid. And if you don't have a spreadsheet, that's fine because you can print it out. And just drop them in, and it will help you make your banking comparison super easy, super, muy fácil, like that little button on Staples, the easy button. It's muy fácil. We got the Spanish one. It's kind of funny. So, yeah, so you can make it so simple. And, you know, they try to make it sophisticated so you buy into the marketing hype and not really pay attention to all that other stuff. But you could chew up a significant amount of your money on those fees. And you know, and remember, internet banks and credit unions have cheaper options. Now, there's some interesting legislation going on with the retail banking center and fees and stuff like that. So things are going to change yet again. But you can do this first process and get through the banks and sort down and figure out what's important to you and figure out which ones make the grade fee-wise. And then I would go talk to a banker. It seems like a lot of work, but think about this. Is your money important to you, or is your money just whatever, you don't care? You know, you, the person that just kind of throws your change wherever. You have a few dollar bills here and a coffee cup with some pencils, and then you got a change bucket somewhere else, and you kind of throw some more money into your drawer. Do you just not really care about your money? Or is your money important to you? Because if your money is important to you, this investment of time will be paying for itself dividends later by the money you save, instead of wasting it in fees and time and effort and energy going to banks that are inconvenient or banking in a way that's not in line with the way you like to bank. So it's super important. And then last but not least, you just want to say, is this institution FDIC insured? And again, this is an independent insurance agency created by Congress to maintain stability and confidence in the nation's financial system, which is pretty low right now. but they did increase their limits on how much money can be insured. And it used to be like 100 grand in deposits. Now, remember, this doesn't cover investments. So if you're considering an investment account and maybe your bank offers some small stuff, you want to compare that not from a banking perspective, but compare that with our investment center comparisons, because it's important that you're comparing apples to apples. And even if you were at an FDIC-insured bank, your investments will not be insured. And if you look, it won't be the same company. It'll be a sister company with the same name or really close to it. And so you want to make sure that you're aware of that. But check to make sure that that institution is insured. Because, you know, you work hard for your money. And if you've been in the workforce 10, 15 years, I wouldn't be surprised if you have $25,000 to $50,000 sitting in a savings account somewhere because you've been afraid of what's gone on in the market and you've been hesitant. So you want to make sure that you're at an FDIC-insured institution for that. So if you want to learn more great tips on how to pick a bank and a checking account, you want to stop by, be a part of our Insiders Club, and learn what countless others have, and visit www.unlockyourwealth.com and manage your banking so much easier. Now, real quick, I had another one that I wanted to talk to you about, and then it looks like our guest is ready. How you can join the ranks of new millionaires. Now, in the World Wealth Report announcement, and you can go online and find that, 8.3% of an increase in millionaires worldwide last year. And if you're thinking, how can I get on that list? It's easier than you think. The number of high net worth individuals are those with $1 million or more in assets after other primary homes. It passed 3 million folks here in the United States. That's about 1% of the population, which means a millionaire is probably living within a slingshot's range of you, if you think about how many people are in this country. So you can be the next one by simply applying some simple strategies. Contribute to your 401k. The head of U.S. Wealth Management for Merrill Lynch, John Thiel, says that the 401k wants to kiss and make up. It may have been known to betray you with what's gone on in the market. But you know what? That's the market. But because things are undervalued, that's like a discount coupon. You got to go shopping, especially if your company does matching. All right? And this is tax-free money. Like, you don't even see it. So you get the tax benefit right away because you contribute to your 401k instead of, I'll give you an example, if your paycheck was $100, okay, and if your employer does dollar-for-dollar matching up to a certain number, let's say that number is $10, so you put $10 in your 401k, you're not taxed on $100 for that paycheck, you're taxed on $90. So your tax obligation goes down. It's super cool. Like right out of the gate, you're making money. Because if you think about that taxable equivalent, that's like a paycheck right in your pocket. Because what would those taxes be? $3, 30 cents on every dollar, right, that you'd be paying on that. So on that $100, you just saved $3. Pretty cool deal. Get back into the market again. It's important to know that when the market is down, it's time to go shopping. That's where you get the bang for your buck. And dollar cost averaging is it, I'm telling you. Just be consistent and keep investing. And remember that it's about incremental increases. We had a guest on just a few weeks ago that talked about writing covered calls and about the pigs get fed, the hogs get eaten. So think about that. Making small gains consistently over time is the way to win, and you don't have to make a killing on every investment. It's not about hitting a home run. It's about consistent base hits without striking out that will bring you, over time, the significant wealth. And be passionate about it. Being a listener of this show is half the battle. That tells me that you're interested in creating financial freedom. And every time you listen, you learn a little bit more. And if you get excited about saving and investing money, that's half the battle. That'll get you there even faster. And the sooner you start saving when you're young, the less you have to put away to end up with the same amount of money that people 5 or 10 years older than you started with. They have to put away more money to end up with what you're going to end up. And internationally is an interesting way to go, and you might want to think about foreign investments. And another tip that they share is to take your time in choosing investments. You know, Warren Buffett, Invest Like a Girl philosophy. It was a funny book. You might have read about this. But women tend to be more deliberate in researching their stocks, and that deliberation and that added effort to consider what to pick has proven to be a winning strategy. Thiel says that female millionaires grew by 3% since the nation openly wept over our guttered portfolios from 2008. And that, my friends, when we had on that covered call guy, one of the things that he talked about is women are traditionally a little bit better because they're not like, oh, yeah, so cocky and okay, and they just take whatever somebody says, yeah, it's going up. They actually do their homework. So women, pat yourselves on the back. Isn't that great? Give yourself a hand. Round of applause. Super great. I can't find my applause button on my sound effects board, so whoops, no sound effects for you, but I am applauding you. Okay, kids, well, guess what? With our show clipping right along, we have Dr. John DeMartini waiting in the wings. And as a result, Mr. DeMartini is a leading authority on human behavior and personal development. He's the founder of the DeMartini Institute, a private research and education organization with over 72 different courses covering various aspects of human development. He's trademarked his methodologies, and he's got the DeMartini Method and the DeMartini Value Determination. And it's a culmination of almost four decades of cross-disciplinary research and writing. And I'm so excited to have him on today's show. Welcome to the broadcast, Dr. DeMartini.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here on the show. It's been great.
I am so excited to have you on the air. The listeners are so in tune to neuro-linguistic programming, and I'm just so thrilled that you got to spend time with Richard Bandler. Tell us what that was like before we kind of delve into what you do.
Well, it was 1978. I was starting my professional school, and I attended a program with Richard and John Grinder, and I got involved, and we started chatting, and my background was in neurology and physiology, and we got into a discussion, and we ended up actually doing programs together back then. So I was, blessed to be right there when they were doing Frogs into Princes and Transformations book, right in the beginning.
I know. I love that Transformations book. I keep that on my Kindle, so when I want to have a little refresher, I always can just pop it right up there on my phone apps. Aren't those incredible?
Yeah, he was a very amazing mind.
I'm fortunate to have received my NLP certification from one of his proteges. So I'm pretty excited to kind of be so close, like two away from the master, so to speak. I'm so excited about that.
Well, congratulations. I was back then. It was one of his proteges, and I were together back in '78. So we got to be involved in that. Then I went on and I continued my work in neurology and psychology development. So I've been fascinated by anything to do with maximizing human awareness and potential and helping us identify inside the internal blocks or conflicts that keep us from living extraordinary lives. So I've been very fascinated by everything in the relating to that.
How did you get interested in that specific area of human potential?
Well, I was told in first grade that I will never be able to read or write or communicate, never amount to anything, never go very far in life. By my first grade teacher, and I ended up barely making it through school. I eventually dropped out. I lived on the streets, I eventually made it to hitchhiked to California and made it to Hawaii and lived in a tent in Hawaii doing surfing and hanging out on the beach. If you can picture that. And I nearly died when I was 17 years old from strychnine poisoning.
Ooh.
And I, as a result of the recovery of that, I met an amazing teacher named Paul Bragg, who's the one that inspired Jack Elaine's life. And that one night I met him in 1 hour with his one message inspired me to dedicate the last 39 years of my life to maximizing human potential and doing something extraordinary with my life. He believed in me more than I did. And I that night my life changed. And ever since then, I've been just everything I could to anything to help myself and help other people grow and live, you know, amazing lives. I've been onto it.
That's an inspiring story. And for most folks, though, they don't seem to get past that issue. Once they're told, they kind of believe it forever. And it takes something, a life-changing event like that, coming onto the brink of death or some sort of despair, whether it be financially or emotionally, and that's when it seems that people decide to make change. In your research and studies, why do you think that is?
Well, sometimes we have, you know, I believe that deep down inside, all of us have a yearning. Everybody has a set of priorities, a set of values that are meaningful in their life. And the highest priority, the highest value, the thing that's most meaningful, most inspiring to them, they want to fulfill. But sometimes they subordinate to other people and minimize themselves to other people and inject the influences of their people in their life. And it makes them feel frightened about being authentic and true to themselves. And what they do is then they hold themselves back from something extraordinary that they deep inside are yearning and called to do. And so when they basically let the outer world dictate their destiny instead of their inner calling, they hold themselves back from their shining light.
That's so amazing, because you see some people that it looks like they have the whole world at their feet. They come from wealth. They've been groomed at the greatest schools. They've had the best of everything possible. And they usually offer up the most lackluster performance. Yet you take somebody from the most incredible odds, where the environment typically dictates something other than success, and then you see great things come from those.
Well, see, because everybody has a set of priorities and values, whenever they perceive their values supported, they tend to, you know, open up, but at the same time, they put people on pedestals if they support their values, and they minimize themselves to them and put them on pedestals. But when they get challenged by people, they tend to build themselves up and put the person down that they get challenged by. So we tend to become precociously independent when we get challenged and juvenilely dependent when we get overly supported. So it's the people that get overly supported that tend to hold themselves back, and the people that get challenged and are up against entrepreneurial development anxieties, you might say, they're the ones that come out with creative ideas, because they give themselves permission to stand up and be themselves instead of sit there subordinating to people that they put on pedestals.
Wow, that's amazing, but it's very accurate at the same time.
Well, you know, everybody, see, I always say that if you sit down and give a child whatever it wants, when it wants, every time it wants, all the time, it'll just sit there and become dependent. It won't grow. But if you give it accountability, responsibility, and make it have to be, you know, somewhat accountable and put some challenge to it, the child comes up with creative angles, and because of it, it gains a little bit of independence because of that resistance. It starts believing in itself and thinking in itself and taking on decision-making for itself. And the entrepreneur is born. People that have more support than challenge in their perceptions as a child very commonly work for other people looking for umbilical cords to plug into, where people who have had the challenges, because they're so used to being independent, to dealing with them, they become the entrepreneur with their own creative ideas and willing to go out there and take on the risks of life. So I always say that you got to have enough challenge with your kids, enough accountabilities and responsibilities on them to help breed that that independence. Otherwise, they're going to stay at home all their life.
Well, exactly. That's the last thing you want.
No, you want to nurture them just enough where they remember your name, but not enough where they stay there forever.
Agreed. Make it uncomfortable enough so they want to get out.
I always say that maximum growth and development occurs at the border of comfort and uncomfort, support and challenge and ease and difficulty. accommodation and assimilation, or assimilation and accommodation, sometimes called. And when those are completely balanced, we maximally wake up our genius.
Yeah, and I believe that I'm an eternal optimist, and I believe everyone has that capability to leave an incredible legacy and a great contribution. That so many of us choose to be comfortable.
I have to say something. I love the way you said that. And the reason I say, I stand up in front of thousands of people and I say, you know, you got to give yourself permission to do something extraordinary and amazing with your life, because that's your true destiny. That's your true, that's what you're really about. Everybody has a genius inside. Whenever they're congruent and they set intentions that are congruent with their highest values, they give themselves permission to shine, and they don't shrink. And they don't end up at the shrink. They give themselves permission to go out there and do something that they really, truly feel that they're wanting to do. And that's what people are. They're capable of it. Everybody is. The thing is that they've been basically subordinating to so many outside influences. I said on The Secret, when the voice and the vision on the inside becomes louder and more powerful than the opinions on the outside, magic occurs. You start to master your life.
Agreed. And so well put. The challenge that we have is there's this perception, and I believe it's a majority perception. I wish that it wasn't, but that we, you know, clearly we have to conform because there are laws that teach us and guide us to be civil to one another. But I don't believe laws are constricting. I believe they're a foundation or a platform for the next best thing that we can create. And part of what I see is there is this perception that money has to be made in a hard or challenging way, and that you must go to college, which is great, a cool experience if you get to have it. I unfortunately had to shortcut that because my mother took ill, so I dropped out. But, you know, you have this mindset that you're supposed to go to college and then get a degree and then go out and get a job and then defer your life until retirement when you could be physically unable to enjoy all of that stuff.
Well, you know, if people are fulfilled, the ancient Greeks said that when you're living according to your highest values, which they called the telos, you experience teleology, which is the most meaningful and purposeful aspect of life. And when you set goals that are congruent with the highest values, you give yourself permission to be an inspired being. And when you do that as a career, magic occurs. Energy comes up. I always say that vitality in life is directly proportionate to the vividness of your vision. And your vision is crystal clear when you're not subordinating to the outer influences that scatter you. And you give yourself permission to be authentic, that one being, that ontological being that you're destined to be. When you do that, power comes out of you. And there's a magnetism, and there's a life that comes out of it. People are drawn to it. It's like it's a light that people want to guide their life by. And you end up a leader automatically, spontaneously expressing your genius.
Those are powerful words. How do we translate that into action? How do we figure out what our highest value is first?
Well, everybody, their life is demonstrating it, because every decision they make is based on what they think will give them the greatest advantage over disadvantage, greatest reward over risk. So whatever decisions they're making and whatever they're doing in their life is actually being guided by their values. But they may be ejecting other people's values and comparing their life to those other people and thinking that somehow there's something wrong with them, or somehow they're making mistakes and living with internal kind of conflicts and moral dilemmas because of it. But if you look at what they fill their space with, what they spend their time on, what they spend their energy on, and what energizes them, what they spend their money on, where are they most organized, where are they most disciplined, what are they thinking about, visualizing, and affirming most? What are they talking to other people about most? What is truly inspiring them, or what's common to the people that inspire them? And what are the goals that they've had for a long time that they consistently work on and are manifesting? If they look at what their life is demonstrating self-evidently, it gives them a direct access to what's really important to them, because their life is demonstrating it.
So what if somebody is cascading in the wrong direction, for example, what they're doing? Let me set a foundation. Let me back up here in order to ask this question. So if somebody is choosing to use drugs, skate by with a minimum amount of effort, and you don't really see hobbies or passions where are the highest values from? Because I can't imagine doing drugs and escaping life is a highest value.
Well, I work with people in prisons and also in drug rehabs and things like that also, and I've trained. And one thing I'm certain about is whenever somebody is not living congruent with their values, when they're attempting to be somebody they're not and trying to be something that they're really not about, what happens is they have so much unfulfillment that they look for immediate gratification. And the drugs and the sex and the drinking or whatever becomes a way of getting an immediate fix, immediate gratification fix for their feelings of unfulfillment. And what's happened is that they're not giving themselves permission. They're trying to force themselves to live by other people's values because they think that somehow other people have a better life than them. And they've set unrealistic expectations on themselves to be somebody they're not. It was Emerson, the philosopher, who said that envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide. And whenever we try to be somebody we're not because we're subordinating to others because we think they got a better life, we're going to live with unfulfillment because we're going to have a moral internal conflict inside us trying to be somebody we're not. Because we're going to keep going back to what we want to do deep inside, unconsciously, but we're constantly trying to do that and we got this conflict inside us. That's what makes us do the drugs, is that feeling of unfulfillment inside and feeling trapped inside, not living up to the expectations we've projected from our fantasies about other people's lives.
Hmm. That's really provocative, because that's the one thing that I've never understood are alcohol and drug addictions. I've never been swayed by that, and I'm kind of more on the neurotic side versus the character disorder side and the psychological span. And I would say I'm an over-acceptor of responsibility. You could do something to knock over your coffee in your office in another state, and somehow I'd figure out a way to make it my fault. Maybe if I asked a question, you got too enthusiastic and knocked it over. I mean, something like that. So I have a tough time trying to relate to that. You know, in my mind, they're just escaping, addressing whatever's going on.
Yeah, but you know, I share this with you. I've developed an addiction methodology that's being used, and one thing I'm certain about is deep down inside, in every case I've worked with, we're talking about hundreds of cases, deep down inside, they have an unconscious motive to do it. The first thing I do when somebody that's got an addiction is I ask them, so what's the benefit you're getting out of it? And their first response is, well, no, it's killing me. I got to stop it. It's destroying my life. I said, stop. What's the benefit you're getting out of it? And I have them list 150 benefits over a few hours. And they're brought to tears because they discover unconscious motives why they're doing it, whether it's overeating or drugs or sex or whatever it is. And they uncover these unconscious motives deep down inside. Like I had a lady that was in Hollywood the other day at a reality show that I was filming. And she was basically saying, when we asked her what was the benefit she was getting from overeating, and she was like, I mean, just like grazing, she was eating so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that her mother and her father and her sister was obese. And if she didn't keep obesity, she wasn't part of the family.
Oh.
And then she also found out that her sister was older and bigger, and she would always push her around, the sister would. So she said, I got to be big enough to not be pushed around. And then she found out that whenever she would lose weight, she would get hit on by guys that would scare her, and her skin would start to get kind of wrinkly and weak and loose. And so we found out 150 benefits out of that, and when we did, then we came up with viable alternatives to get those same benefits without having to eat. And then we linked those to her highest values, and then we showed the drawback then of doing the eating, and we shifted her reality. And literally in 7 hours, we shifted her reality and changed her eating patterns.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, but unconsciously, no one will ever do anything unless they've got an unconscious motive to do it. But most of us are completely oblivious to what our unconscious motives are, our real values inside. And we're basically we're living with the facades. The facade is on the outside is what we're talking to instead of getting to the core being.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have done some incredible work in your most recent book, Inspired Destiny, Living a Fulfilling and Purposeful Life, was some amazing things that you have done to influence the minds of young people to aid our future generations to really reach for greatness. Will you share a little bit about how you came about this project?
I travel full time, and one of my offices is in actually South Africa, Johannesburg. And one of the programs we have the opportunity to do down there is a Young Adults Inspired Destiny program. We have sometimes 125 students of teens and 20s sitting for a day from 8 in the morning to about 7 at night. And we do everything we can to give them an advantage, how to communicate in people's values so they get what they want, how to master reading and learning how to take their curriculum and linking it to what's inspiring to them, how to go after and set goals that are congruent so they achieve, how to break through fears and guilt and shame and all kind of things that may be holding them back, how to clarify actions and priorities and strategies so they can achieve the things that they say they want. Just how to dissolve conflicts that they might be having. I mean, we just go over and we're just knocking things out throughout the day, and it's a very inspiring day. So what we did is we taped four of those sessions. We started to then edit it down, and we created a book called Inspired Destiny. And it was originally for teens and 20s, like I said, but we modified it so it could apply to pretty well anybody in different ages. And it's my newest book, and I'm very inspired by it. I'm so grateful for it coming out because it's already gotten feedback that's just astonishing.
It's a very engaging read, and it's so neat how you walk people through what's most important to you and how you identify how the values drive their purpose and to focus on those seven areas of life that we all need purpose in order to fulfill our greatest potential.
Exactly. Well, I always say that any area of your life you don't empower, somebody's designed to overpower you, to frustrate you enough to empower it. And you're never a victim of your history. You're here to be a master of your destiny. And it's not what happens to you. It's how you perceive it. And if you have the wisdom of the book, which I outline in the book, on how to ask questions to take no matter what happens to you and turn it into opportunity. That your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask. And if you ask questions that empower you, you get an empowered life. And I really believe that we can be the masters of our destiny and can be the ones that are prophets of our destiny, can determine where we want to go and create it. I've started that when I was 17, and I'm living what I dreamed about when I was 17. So I know it's totally doable, and I was the least likely person to be able to do it. And I've watched thousands of people around the world do that. So the book is designed to give them the tools that I've seen and proven to work over the last 3.5 to 4 decades.
And I find that myself, kind of the birds of a feather sort of saying, myself, my husband, all came from significant adversity where people said, oh, you'll never be good enough, fast enough, smart enough. And that was, that negative reinforcement was the fuel for the fire that was lit within us to achieve some of the great heights that we have seen.
Well, you know, one of the things in my book is I explain to people that the reason why they have negative self-talk is because they set unrealistic fantasies and unrealistic expectations on themselves and others. And the negative self-talk is actually a biological feedback system in the brain to try to make sure they set realistic expectations, because when they do, they achieve the most. So it is a feedback system to make sure they're authentic. All of our physiology and psychology is actually feedback mechanisms to get us homeostatic. And just when we finally realize that, we realize that our body and our mind is doing everything it can, or they're doing both of the things, to do everything they can to get what we want in life. And we just keep holding on to our delusions and fantasies instead of get real with ourselves.
That's so true, and it doesn't take very much to get there. And today's key is to become a voracious reader, and with knowledge and the acquisition of how to. I'm a big nonfiction reader. I love nonfiction, and if it's not nonfiction, it's got to be murder mysteries so I can figure stuff out, because I love letting my brain go nuts and working on things. And I created this key because what we teach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation is a foundation specifically to create financial wellness and to start on that path to building financial freedom. And one of the things that I'm a big proponent of is reading. Reading is what has gotten me to where I am today. Specifically, I always liked it. I was the kid that read the Nancy Drew mysteries under the covers long after I was told to go to bed with the flashlight. And when I dropped out of college, panic set in. I had to take care of my mom. I had to work full time. And I was so scared of not knowing enough that I wouldn't be competitive in the workplace. And I figured, how else can I beat these people, other than with my drive, is I've got to have a knowledge base that they don't have. And so I just started buying books from people that were in the industry. Like when I became a stockbroker, I started buying everything I could and reading all the books that I could find on how to beat the market, how to invest, how to make money now, how to make money midterm, long term, all of that stuff. So I could outfox them all because I was so afraid that I didn't have that piece of paper that they were going to have, that I was going to be somehow not as good. So that's why I chose to read so voraciously.
Well, I always say that the greater your void, the greater your value. And if you're inspired by something, you got to drive for it. Your drive, like, was like me. I was told I'd never read. I didn't read until I was 18, and now I've read over 29,000 books. So what happens is when you really, 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 really have a desire to do something, you do extraordinary things with it.
And it gives you, I feel reading gives you so much more than just the words that you absorb, because it allows critical thinking skills. You can take and read two books about the same topic from different people with opposing viewpoints, and now you learn to synthesize information automatically because your brain accepts some stuff, discards others, finds what's useful, or maybe comes up with another third way. And that's one of the values I feel is so important about reading. And
reading allows you to stand on the shoulders of giants instead of having to reinvent the wheels.
I know. One of my husband's favorite phrases is, why draw when you can trace?
I've been blessed by reading. I love reading. It's my daily thing. I've been doing it for years. You know, I learned a long time ago, if you spend 30 minutes of reading every single day on the topic that you want to master, in 7 years you could be at the cutting edge of the field. If you read an hour a day on whatever it is you want to master, in 4 years you could be at the cutting edge of the field. If you do 2 hours a day in 2.5 years, and if you do 3 hours a day, under 2 years you can accelerate and literally be at the front edge of a field. I've proven this. I've seen it work, and it's amazing. Concentrated focus and mastery of reading is one of the greatest contributions we can do with our life. Specialized knowledge. And having the ability to share that, link it, and integrate it with our mission, man, amazing things happen. Because knowledge in itself, if it's clarified and communicated in a way that inspires people, can transform people's lives and our own lives.
And that's the greatest thing about when someone says, okay, well why do I want to take your workshop, or why do I want to read your books? And I say, well, read them and go out and prove me wrong. And I encourage you to go out and challenge my belief. I'm not saying I'm speaking the gospel. This is what I have found that works, and I want you to take that knowledge to the next level. And that's one of the things that I encourage all of the folks that go through our workshops, all of the listeners of the radio show, all the members on our unlockyourwealth.com website. I say, don't take this for gospel. Go out and try to disprove this theory. Or refine it and make it better for you, because you're going to read a book that I may not know of, that I haven't seen or had the opportunity to peruse myself, and they can expand their knowledge base. My challenge, and I know that this is probably the challenge of so many others, is the reading techniques that we have are stuff that we learned in elementary school. And with all of the new information that comes out every day, with the technology, we are exponentially duplicating the amount of knowledge each and every day that's out there on a single given topic. So how does one learn how to read more effectively at a higher level of comprehension in less time?
Well, the most important thing about reading is, when you're reading, if you can't see how it's going to help you fulfill your highest values, it will go into short-term memory instead of long-term memory. So you want to make sure you link whatever you're reading to what's most important to you. So you got to define what your highest values are, what's really most important to you, and ask, how is reading this material, or how is studying this class, or this curriculum, or this particular book or text, how is it going to help me fulfill my mission, my highest value, what's most inspiring to me? The more you can see, answer that question, the more you can see that link, the more you'll retain the information, the more you'll absorb the information, the more easy it is to focus when you read. Your focal point and your visual image will be expanded by doing so. If you have a reason for doing it, we've all read a book that we're inspired by, we don't want to put down. The reason it is because it's linked to our values at that moment. And we've all read a book that's not, and that we just can't, it puts us to sleep, or we just can't stay focused on it. And that's because we can't see the connection between our highest values. So that's the first step. Then you want to use a visual guide. Not try to do it with your eyes moving, because you'll tend to use your vocalization. You'll tend to speak the words, and it'll only go to 200 to 400 words a minute. You got to use a visual guide and use your eyes. through a visual guide, so you can go at faster spaces. Unless you break the sound barrier, you won't go into fast reading. So you got to use a visual guide. I've shown people how they go to four times the reading, literally in a matter of a few hours, four times the reading, just to use visual guides and linking to the values. Those are the first two steps I did.
And, you know, as I've aged and I've kind of, my fabulous eyesight is deteriorating on me, I found that one particular tool, instead of, you know, forcing my eyes to do so much work to concentrate on the one line, that I can relax my eyes a little bit more when I'm following my finger. And so I see more words in a sentence when I use a guide, and I'm able to comprehend those little chunks of the sentence a lot more easily with a guide than if I'm just trying to read without using a guide.
Absolutely. And you also want to make sure that you have diffuse light. You drink water, not other things that make your volatility of your blood sugar go up and down. You know, like coffee and tea and things actually work for a moment up and then down. But water is the most universal solvent. Make sure you have diffuse light. Make sure you have fresh air. Make sure you're in loose clothing, if possibly. Make sure you have the book angled slightly so you're not bending over with your neck all the time. Make sure that you're reading something that's truly linked to your values so it's inspiring. Then make sure that you have a cause for what you're going to do with the information. You will absorb vastly more and be more involved in the book if you have a reason for the book. If you know you're going to present something about the book, or you know it's going to be something that you're going to share with somebody or learn something or put it for something, you'll go farther with the book than if you don't have a reason for it. When you have a cause to read, you get more out of the reading.
Would it help to maybe sit down before you indulge in a book and maybe create some questions? You know, what am I looking to get out of this book and answer that question? How can I use this information, or what ways do I think I want to apply it? Would that allow for better comprehension too?
Absolutely. You know, it's like anything else. If you learn something and you don't have a purpose to use it, you don't have anything, it'll fade. It'll go into kind of a deep unconscious. You'd have to almost use hypnosis to get out of you. But if you know you're going to do something, I learned a long time ago. My ritual when I was in my 20s was getting up at 2 in the morning, doing yoga to 2:30, reading from 2:30 to 6:30, about 4 hours. I'd read 4 to 7 books, speed read them all. And then I would go to quickly run, and then I'd come in, shower, go to my professional school, go there, go into clinic because I did clinical work. At 7 o'clock, I came back to teach until 10 o'clock at night, whatever I read that morning. And I had students coming just to come for that. And then I go to bed for 4 hours, and I did that again and again, day after day. And whenever I gave out the information really quick that day, my retention went to the highest. I didn't want to have a lag period between what I learned and what I gave out as far as a service to people. So if you have a reason for studying it and you put it into operation rapidly, you retain information vastly.
I can think about when I was in school, and I was always a straight-A student. I really didn't have to study very much, and it was easier to get better grades in the classes that I really enjoyed. And I'm always kind of like, oh, my gosh, I have to have like 100%. If I got like a 97, I'd be devastated. But one of the things that I did, because I was so involved in so many different things when I was in school growing up, I was in dance and cheerleading and golf and this, that, and the other. And I wouldn't, and it's just kind of dawning on me after listening to you, I wouldn't even read the book for the class until the teacher gave the assignment. And I knew what questions needed to be answered, because I figured if I read it, I'd have to read it again to go find the answers to the question anyway. And so laziness just kind of led me to that. But I feel like when I read the questions, I had something to look for then when I was reading, not just reading.
That's what's so great about having a purpose. You're describing sort of what I was describing, that you now have a reason for doing it. And the greater your cause, the greater your reading capacities, and the greater the drive, the more you're going to retain it. But you're describing it perfectly. When you have some reason for it, you'll get more out of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, there are some subjects that just, you know, I liked a lot of things, and I love learning just in general, but there are certain topics that really excite me a whole lot more. I love the human body. I love how the brain works, and I love math. But, you know, some things just really didn't excite me, and so when I thought I was just doing it out of laziness, but from what you're describing, it makes it sound like I had a pretty solid game plan.
No, you're describing it accurately. You know, people, you had the perfect void, because the reason why you're a great reader is because you had that void about not getting to finish school. That's the gift. These aren't bad things. These are gifts. You know, my daughter, when she was younger, I used to play a trick on her. What I would do is I would devour. I've been reading the biographies of immortal legacies throughout, God, since I was in my teens. So anybody that's done extraordinary things in the world, I read their biographies. I find out what's common to their lives. I look at what inspired them and these kind of things. And so whenever I'd find my daughter go through something that she'd have a setback or a challenge on, I'd find somebody that's done extraordinary things with the same background, same experience. And then I'd pay her to write a biography summary on their biography. And then she'd go, Dad, you know, he went through the same thing that I went through. Isn't that amazing? And look what he did in his life. And I just kept having her do that, and I'd pay her basically to do summaries of books on extraordinary people. Today she's planning on being a journalist, and she's writing, and writing poetry and writing things on amazing people. So it's just amazing what happens. So if all of a sudden we take these challenges, they are our greatest gifts.
Oh, that's so great to hear that story. I love stories of success. I love when people overcome odds, and, you know, having you as a parent would just be unbelievable anyway. And to hear how that story plays out is so heartwarming.
Well, I believe that truly people have it in there, and that's why I say that challenge serves. You know, it was Barbara Walters who was interviewing Arnold Schwarzenegger a number of years back, and Barbara said, you know, you've done amazing things. You've come from another country. You've been here, da-da-da. And he says, yeah, it's because of the challenge. And he says that some people are wanting their easy life. I would say that if you're searching for the easy life, you'll attract difficulties that are uninspiring. But if you go out and find the problems that are in the world that people need solving, and you dedicate your life to solving problems for people and tackling the difficulties in the world, you attract an inspired life. And you get people supporting you, and your life becomes easier by tackling challenges than trying to make an easy life and going through the challenge that you don't want. I would say if you get up and dedicate your life to solving the challenges that inspire you, you won't have to deal with the challenges that don't.
That is some prophetic words. That is an amazing summation of what you focus on, you'll find.
Well, I believe that we have, you know, I don't feel, we have a sensory and motor part of our brain, a sensory cortex, motor cortex. And the sensory one is in the back part of the brain, the motor is in the front part of the brain. And we are designed to both receive and give service and experience rewards. If we do one without the other and it's not balanced, we don't have fulfillment. So we want to go out and find some need that another person has that we can be of service to, and then we want to value ourselves enough to feel the rewards. The Great Book of Wealth by Hubert Hal Bancroft, which I've had the blessing to have a copy of and summarize, said that there are three things found in the wealthiest people in the world. They felt that they were ordained, literally by divine providence, to do something massively vast across the world for humanity. And they also felt that they deserved to live extraordinary lives and be like kings and royalty and leaders and live at the greatest capacities that human beings could create, the greatest lifestyle people could have. And they also appreciated the value of exchange with a medium called money, because it's basically a way of keeping fair exchange across society through the classes of existence. And when somebody basically honors that they're here to give and receive and do something and see how far they can give and receive, their life opens up to new possible vistas.
You know, we're touching on so many keys here. You know, one of our keys in our Keys to Riches is no seasonal exceptions. And that's after we have broken the budget and created a healthy savings and spending plan, we don't allow seasonal events to take us off of our mark by justifying, you know, going out and being lavish and extravagant. And I try to remind them that giving is about the giver, not the recipient. And if we have trouble receiving, we're going to have challenges giving, or we're not giving for the right reasons. And so many people are deficit in that recipient category that they feel like they must give or they're obligated to give.
Number one thing that Foster Hibbert, who used to work with Napoleon Hill and somebody I used to lecture with years ago, 25 years ago, stated that the number one reason why people hold themselves back finances is because they're carrying around shame and guilt. They have unrealistic expectations on themselves, and they're trying to be somebody they're not, and they're beating themselves up, and they feel unworthy. So they go in there and compensate by doing something of give, but they have difficulty receiving, like you're saying. But I really believe that if they sit down and write down whatever they've done that they think is somehow unworthy of love, write down how it served them and how it served the people involved, and clear it. Clear the slate, because it's delusional at best, and if they just clear it, they find out to say that they're worthy of something. Then if they write down these six things, they can change their financial destiny. They write down 200 benefits of building a business that serves ever greater numbers of people, and 200 benefits of actually building and refining that business and mastering more effective and efficient ways to build profits. And then if they sit down and write down the 200 benefits of saving a portion of ever-progressive levels of profits, and if they write down 200 benefits of investing in ever greater levels of leverage and risk, and if they write 200 benefits of amassing a fortune, and 200 benefits of actually going and creating a legacy that's a financial philanthropic legacy, when they finish, their mindset will be in a completely different frame, and they'll be more likely to get up and get out and serve and get a vast fortune built out of their lives and transform society.
Those are some amazing words. I'm so grateful that you chose to be a part of our broadcast today and just really enlightened our listeners with your wealth of knowledge and your studies and pursuits in human potential, because this it's an incredible gift that you've given us today, and I thank you so much for that.
No, thank you.
Now, if folks want to be able to get more Dr. DeMartini, how do they go about doing it? Because I know they're going to want to.
Well, it's very simple. They've got a number of ways of doing it. They can simply go to my website, which is drdemartini.com. That kind of is the door opener. Or they can go to Facebook, Dr. DeMartini Facebook. Or they can call just 888-DeMartini, which is headquarters in the United States anyway. I've got different offices, but that's the one in the United States. 888-DeMartini, and that's DeMartini. So they can go to my website, drdemartini.com, Facebook, Dr. DeMartini, Facebook, or they can go to 888-DeMartini.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. Folks, you have been listening to Dr. DeMartini, and if you didn't have a pencil to write down all that information, never fear, unlockyourwealth.com is here. Surf over to the website for more Dr. DeMartini, and we will be right back with more Unlock Your Wealth Radio coming up after this.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Wonder why money comes so easily to everyone but you? Tired of getting what you've always got? Need a new way of thinking to get ahead in life but don't have time to read a book on it? Now you can learn what the millionaires do that the masses don't with Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go. Your 15-minute cup of millionaire motivation to get the specific strategies to ditch what doesn't work and have more of what you deserve in your everyday life. Join Heather Wagenhals to start your day the millionaire way. Listen to Heather Tuesdays at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. truly. Financial coaching can be the single vision you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Tired of stretching out your paycheck to the very last penny? Learn how to think like a millionaire, live within your means, and find true financial freedom with Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Tune in to the Midweek Update, 30 minutes of all the tips and tricks you need to manage your money. Listen to Heather Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Dr. John DeMartini, forgive me, on Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and I'm Heather Wagenhals, your money mentor, and I am just blown away with the power that that man commands when he speaks. Did you guys feel the same way? Oh, my gosh. I'm in awe, and what great tips that he gave. Oh my gosh, this hot sheet for this interview is going to be its own book. Oh my gosh, I'm getting hand cramps from all the writing that I've been doing for this. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. So, did you learn something? One thing? I know he gave out so many things. One of my goals that I always try to do whenever I meet someone or go read a book or listen to a lecture and stuff is to do just what he said, is to have a goal. And my goal is always to get one new something, whether it's a new technique for creating positive change in folks' lives, doing different NLP processes, whether it's a new tool in my toolbox for building my sales skills, my professional speaking skills, whatever it might be, broadcasting, you name it. I always look for one new tool. And if I get one thing out of whatever it is that I've done, and especially if I've invested money on it, then I feel like I got my money's worth. And if I did something that was free, then I feel like total bonus that I got out of that. So it's just great, and I feel like I got so much out of that. I hope you folks did too. And, you know, just if you can think of one thing while you've got it fresh in your mind and just write down that one thing that stuck with you that he said, you'll figure out a way to incorporate it. And you can just look at it and review it, and then it'll stay fresh in your mind, and you can move it from short-term to long-term memory, whing, in no time. So it is that time again for our Keys to Riches. And, again, welcome to the broadcast for any new listeners that we have. And thanks so much for stopping by. We hope you enjoy the content that we have. And this is our Keys to Riches segment where we take our Keys to Riches and we break them down one key at a time, one week at a time, and we're on our last key. And the Keys to Riches is simply a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, also giving you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth holistically while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills.
And money management is truly a skill. It's something that we must work on and refine. It's like riding a bike, and you get on, and you're like, oh, my gosh, whether or not you have training wheels, you've got to figure out a way to pedal and stay balanced and stop. It's one thing to get going. Stopping is another thing. And then we go from being consciously incompetent, which is the first level of learning. We don't know what we don't know, and therefore we're not going to have a frame of reference to be good at it. But as we progress through the levels of learning, holy smokes, we get to a level where we are unconsciously competent, which is like autopilot. So if you're older than a kid and you've been riding bikes for years, you could get on a bike, and you might not even have ridden one for the last 5 or 10 years, but it'll come right back to you, and you'll be dialed in. It's like driving a car. When you first learned how to drive a car, you were all freaked out, and you paid attention to every little bump and groove and thing in the road, and, oh, my gosh, the people are so close to me, and you start freaking out, and now you just blaze down the road. You don't even notice how close the guy is next to you while you're yapping on your cell phone, playing with the radio, eating a burger because your life is so crazy. So we want to get to a point with our finances where we are unconsciously competent, where we just knock them out, and it's all a pilot. Now, we're at the last key in our Keys to Riches financial wellness series, and this key ties them all together, and it's become a voracious reader. And this key is so important because, first off, I am what I am today because of my appetite for reading, and not everybody has an appetite. Perhaps you struggled as a reader when you were younger, and if someone didn't reach in, if reading didn't come easy or natural to you and you had a struggle with it, perhaps you weren't good at vocabulary or spelling and you just always struggled with reading and no one gave you the tools to become a better reader. And it's unfortunate that we just get into learning. We don't teach people how to learn. And that's the most powerful thing you can do, is to learn how to learn and then begin the learning process. But we kind of bypass that and just expect that you automatically know how to learn. And it happens over and over, and it's unfortunate. But now, just because we're older doesn't mean we're not capable of learning. And learning as an adult is almost easier than it is as a child. Because learning as a child, you just suck up information, and you can regurgitate it, but you can't think about it. You can't synthesize the data and analyze it. There's no real cognition until about 7 or 8 years old, and that's when we start actually thinking about the things we have. We're just an imprinter at that point. But now, adults learn differently. We make associations to things that we already know. So once we can find something that helps us learn how to learn better and bring it into something that we already know, then we'll get that much further ahead. It's just like, you know, when you were in school and you could listen to a song on the radio and know every word of that song and not hear it for a long time and still be able to sing the song along with the radio, but yet you can't read and do your homework and get through school. And it's because we just didn't know how to learn, or we made assumptions about how it goes. But reading is the crux of the fundamental part of learning and sharing information. And whether we like it or not, being on the Internet, that's all we're doing. I mean, sure, there's videos and there's sounds, but for the most part, we have to read websites. So reading is an even more important skill to master. And the good news is it's never too late to learn. I'm reading a great book on memory right now, and this book is all about it's never too late to learn. You can dust off the brain. Get rid of those cobwebs. They can go away. Real simple. The foundation for become a voracious reader is a few things. One, the Keys to Riches was meant to be your foundation for better money management, for evoking higher thought, for creating the skills you need to accomplish your money goals, and to give you streamlined processes for overcoming your limiting beliefs so you can truly have what you say you want on the outside. We can make the outside and the inside say the same thing, because most of the time what's going on the inside isn't always what we ask for on the outside. And when they're in conflict, just like Dr. DeMartini was talking about, we're not going to get the results we desire. We're not going to get what we say we want because we've got some internal values behind and there's a conflict going on. And so that's the point of this. And so this key takes the foundation and says, now that you have the foundation, go out and learn. Go out and learn more. Now you know what complete money health looks like. You have the full picture of money management from start to finish. You have a process that you can repeat over and over. You have a way to set goals. You have a way to create the plan to accomplish those goals. And you have a way to handle when things come up that take you off your goals. And you have a way to redirect and a way to monitor how close or far away you are from your goals. And you have a way and tools to create new goals or new pathways if things get in the way and your original approach isn't effective anymore because life happens and you have new information. You have all of these tools at your disposal. And so once we begin to implement them and after we have seen success with our confidence levels and our skill levels with money management, and we're able to eliminate the bad debt and create the right credit profile and develop and live with a healthy savings and spending plan successfully, now what we need to do is put our money to work for us. We've been good at accumulating it. Now we need to make it work for us. And what we need to do is go out and seek out information on the things that excite us. Like DeMartini says, you got to be excited. Like we talked about in that millionaire article, be excited about making money and investing and becoming wealthy. And by learning new techniques and evaluating different techniques to give you a foundation for making effective decisions when it comes to investments, think about what you can accomplish. The world is your oyster. You could do whatever you want with it. And that's the super great thing about the power of truly unlocking your potential. And this isn't just about financial potential. Imagine what happens when you get your money in line to the point that you're unconsciously competent. And your money runs on autopilot. You do the things that you do. You've got your 5 minutes for financial wellness. And so what are you going to do with the rest of the day? The 23 hours and 55 minutes you're not managing your money. Imagine the possibilities. You can create unlimited happiness, unlimited wealth. Do what your heart desires once you get your finances in line. And you will see these techniques are kind of universal. We've built them to apply specifically to your finances, but you could take any area of your life and apply them. But you got to go out and get more information, and you got to gain more knowledge. And I've never done this before, but I was thinking about it as I was driving up about some tools for better reading. Okay. Now, we always talk about how powerful the brain is. It's the most incredible supercomputer of the entire universe, no question, hands down. So how do we employ all areas of the brain to really engage us in reading? Well, it's like, think of it as a process. And you're going to prepare for your next education. And I look at every new book as a process. And so what we want to do is set up this simple strategy. And I have a recommended reading list on unlockyourwealth.com as a website. On the website, I have a recommended reading list as your strategy for this week. But what we need to look at and what we really need to focus on is a structure to reading that will be engaging, enjoyable, fun, educational, and specifically easy. If we make reading simple and easy to do and exciting for ourselves, then guess what? It will be. It's so amazing what you filter for, you find. So what you need to do is set aside all of those preconceived notions you have about reading. Shed any old conventions about the way things were when you used to read as a kid. If you were struggling, it doesn't matter, because you're going to start simply by affirming that you're a great reader. I am a great reader. I am a voracious reader. I enjoy reading all day long. I look forward to reading. I anticipate reading with reckless abandon. I am happy when I read. Reading makes me happy. And, of course, reading makes me smarter. So I am smarter because I'm a reader. It's pretty great stuff. So, anyway, pick your affirmation, and that's what we're going to start with, is just our affirmation. Now, the next thing that we need to do is that we need to make sure that we have the correct mindset. Now, it's interesting to see how people that, you know, are good on homework and stuff, but then they don't take tests right. And it's because when they go to take tests, they're in a different frame of mind than when they studied and learned the material. So what we need to do is we need to create an environment for ourselves that makes it easy and comfortable to read. Posture is everything, because if we create physical fatigue when we read, we're not going to read for very long. So what we need to do is we need to find a great, comfortable place to read. I'm a big fan of, you know, sinking into a real fluffy, comfy chair, one where I can put my feet up. Now, for me, I can read a lot longer if I'm adjusted properly. And so what I like to do is prop up pillows under my lower back, and so I can lay back over them, and then it puts me at the right angle where I don't have to tip my neck and create neck fatigue. So I can hold my book comfortably with very little effort in my lap. And what makes the angle correct is then I put a pillow under my knees. So I'm kind of in this little zigzag shape of my body. So I'm reclining. My lower back is supported, so that's not getting my fatigue because of the angle that I'm laying back at with that pillow. My neck is in line. My book can rest in my lap, and I can hold it comfortably so I won't get fatigued from my hands. Plus, as my speed increases as a reader, once I become more proficient, then I can flip through the pages easier. And that happens because my legs are propped up, so I don't create any unnecessary leg strain or leg fatigue or hip fatigue because I'm all straightened out, or I've got funky angles. So first I want to get myself into a nice physical position. Then I want to get myself mentally prepared to receive the information. So I want to relax. I want to focus. And so I am just going to imagine this nice, either a warm wave or a cool breeze, whatever makes you more relaxed, just melting over me from the top of my head, through my face and my neck, relaxing my shoulders and my arms, increasing the depth of my breathing, but slowing my breathing pace so it creates a nice calm effect in my body so my circulation drops. And I just want this wave to go through my hips and through my legs, over my knees, down my shins, and out of my feet. And so now I'm ready to receive. I'm focused on relaxing, and so the information will come in easier. Then before I begin reading, I want to set up some goals. So I could read the back of my book, and I can say, oh, okay, so based on what it says is inside this, here are some questions I would like to answer. So for this memory book I'm reading, I'll give you this as an example. I said to myself, okay, it's written by a doctor, so what new information can I learn about the science side of the brain that will help me build and maintain my memory? And then what new tools can I learn about keeping my memory? And can I find some tools that will help me increase my memory? So now I've set up some goals. So I'm looking forward, and I'm going to be looking for this specific information. Maybe I'll get it from the table of contents based on what the chapters say. And then I'm going to, after I've got these goals in my mind, I'm going to employ a speed reading technique that capitalizes on how powerful our brain is. Now, our subconscious mind as we've spoken before, can take in up to 4 billion bits of information per second. Now, again, consciously, we can only manage 7 plus or minus 2. So that's either 5 or 9. So as a result, what we want to do is do the speed reading technique that is called previewing a book. So what you want to do is take your book and open it up in the middle, fold it down, loosen the pages, flip back and forth through the pages so you get kind of air in between so they'll turn easily, and work the binding of the book, like shimmy the book back and forth in between your hands so it loosens up so your pages can open all the way. And here's the cool technique. Reading and your comprehension goes up when you can use a tool to read with. So whether it's simply your finger or a pen or some sort of pointing device that you can use that your eyes can follow your finger as you point at each sentence. Now, all you want to do in this preview phase is take and run your hands, like kind of wiggle them like you're washing something, but look at your fingers. Don't look at the words on the page, but look at your fingers. I always try to focus on my middle finger, and I kind of just run my finger through the page. Now, every once in a while, a word will pop out, because remember, 7 things plus or minus 2. So a word will pop out here and there, and then numbers or dates or things will start to pop out, and that's okay. And you're going to go from front to back. If it's a book that has a couple hundred pages, it might take you about 10 minutes. But do this on each page and just run your hand down the page, run your hand down the page, flip to the next page, run your hand down the page, run your hand down the page, flip to the next page. It'll look like you're speed reading and you'll be like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? I don't speed read. But what you're doing is you're taking in the information subconsciously. Your brain is so powerful that it's picking up every word. But again, just stare at your middle finger and relax your eyes so in your peripheral vision, every single word is going into your head. It's super powerful. And do this. And then perhaps this is all you do for your one reading session. And there is a tendency, and I do this, to slow down when you catch something interesting, when something piques your interest, but keep cranking. Don't slow up. Keep through it. Go through it all. And perhaps this is all you do for the first day. Is set aside 15 minutes. Set your affirmation that you're going to be a great reader. Get physically comfortable. Get mentally comfortable, and then set some goals, and then preview the book and put it away. The next time you go to pick up this book, it'll be your second exposure to it. Now, they talk about 6 times to be exposed to something for 66% comprehension. So you've already gotten one down, and it's in there. So now what you're going to do is you're going to start making some conscious associations as you go to read. And what you need to do is just read again with your pointing device. And now you can read at your normal pace and move forward through your normal pace and just follow your finger and just run your finger across. Now, you want to not mouth the words. You just want them to go in your head. If you kind of mouth the words, you're slowing your reading speed and you're slowing your comprehension. So you just kind of want to sit there and just focus on reading with your eyes and taking in the information. Finish the sentence first or finish the paragraph first before you go back to read. If you think your comprehension isn't that high, if you think, oh, that didn't make sense to me. If it's technical reading, it might take a second exposure to it. But allow yourself the confidence to finish out the paragraph. And it might make sense once you have all the information. But in any case, run your finger, watch your finger at your regular reading pace, and just follow your finger across the pages. Stay focused on your finger and the word that's directly above it. And what you'll find over time as you become proficient with this reading is you will see that you will wind up reading a couple of words at a time, and you'll be able to move your finger faster. And then you'll find that you're not just reading groups of words at a time, but you'll find yourself reading lines of words at a time because you're focused on your finger. So your peripheral vision will pick up all of that extra stuff. So what you need to do is just stay in that moment and focus on that reading. And before you know it, your reading skills and your comprehension levels are going to go up exponentially. it'll be so fantastic and you'll be so blown away that you're accomplishing your reading goals and you're learning, and you're learning at a rate that you never thought was possible. Or perhaps somebody when you were younger told you you couldn't do it. Well, guess what? You just blew that door off. I'm so glad that you took the time to join us today. I'm pretty excited about what's coming for the future. I just wanted to share with you the changes that are coming next season. So next Saturday is going to be our first show. Friday is your Declaration of Financial Independence Day. And folks that sign up for the Insiders Club, we've got special offers. We're doing a great promotion with iwearyourshirt.com all over the internet. And for those that sign up, they'll get the special offers, and we're going to do a giveaway every hour to members of Unlock Your Wealth. So there's 24 hours in a day. So starting at 12:01 Friday morning, every hour we're going to do a giveaway for another member of the website. I'm so excited. And we're going to be giving out great books and money management development tools. It's going to be so much fun. So we're going to have a ball. So make sure that you surf over to the website, make your personal declaration for financial independence, and claim the life that you truly deserve at unlockyourwealth.com. And then Saturday is going to be our first new show for season 10, so we're starting all over. So if you've come in partway through the season, never fear. The Keys to Riches is starting over. And we'll be here with our first key, which is acceptance and affirmation, next week. We also have great guests lining up. And the following week, we are going to move our Unlock Your Wealth Radio To Go show to three times a week. So instead of just Tuesdays, we're going to Monday, Wednesday, Friday for your morning cup of millionaire motivation, 15 minutes of giving you the tools that you can incorporate right now to start your day the millionaire way. And we're going to be doing that great show. So I'm so excited about that. So we have all kind of fun things coming up in the next month, and that's only a week away. So I wanted to share that with you. So beat your feet over to unlockyourwealth.com and get on the e-zine list. Get your VIP or Insiders Club membership today and get ready for what's coming up ahead, because it's going to be a great ride. I'm so excited. Now, for this week's nuts and bolts for our key of Become a Voracious Reader, our key statement is, I know that in order to be successful, I must continually grow my knowledge. And I do that by becoming a voracious reader. Our key affirmation for this week is, I am a voracious reader. And we say those several times throughout the day, right before bed, to get our subconscious mind working on creating neural pathways to bring it to fruition. First thing in the morning, we say it again, to focus our conscious mind on our higher purpose. And anytime we encounter negativity, because what you think about, you bring about. We want to just shake it off and move on. Nobody's raining on our parade. No, they're not. We are having a fabulous life, and we're claiming that victory today. Now, your key action item is to go to the website and get the featured strategy with the recommended reading list and find one book that you can start reading today. And it doesn't have to be one on that list, but that might be something that might be of value to you. All those books have inspired me or influenced what I do. So if you like what we do here, you'll probably want to read the books that influence that. So it doesn't matter what you're reading. Just get through it and do the preview phase. It's the start. If you can commit to 10 or 15 minutes on a regular basis, as your skills improve, you will improve, and you'll want to go to 30 minutes or a half hour like Dr. DeMartini, holy smokes, reading books at a time, a whole book in a sitting. Wouldn't that be cool? That would be. It'd be so great. And then just, come on, just do a little bit more and a little bit more and stimulate your mind each and every day. You will be so thrilled by what comes out of that, and you'll be grateful. You'll say, Heather, thanks. I want you to call me back in 6 months and say, Heather, thanks. I have learned so much about myself, about my confidence level, and about my abilities in this lifetime with anything. You can read anything. I don't care what it is. But just find something that interests you, go through this checklist, and make it happen for yourselves. You'll be so grateful that you did. Well, what a wonderful show. I am so excited, and it's our final show for the ninth season. So we got another one yet in the can, I'm thrilled to say. And for more in-depth interviews with money experts, strategies, and members-only tools to fix your credit, get out of debt, and have more money and happiness, do what other savvy listeners have and become an Insiders Member Club today at www.unlockyourwealth.com. I'm Heather Wagenhall saying thanks for joining us. Go out and make it a great day.